Hi, this is Alan Chartok, and I'm really excited today to be in a musical conversation with the Eagle Band's Trombone Ensemble, the oldest continuing performance ensemble in the Berkshires. The band was originally sponsored by the Fraternal Order of Eagles, but traces its roots to the 390th Field Artillery Band in 1918. The 390th disbanded in the late 1920s because there was no longer a need for field artillery in the Berkshires, and many of its members formed the Pittsfield American Legion Band, which begot a renegade group that started rehearsing at the Eagles Hall in 1936. In 1993, the Eagles Band reorganized and made a decision to become a non-profit community band in which performers donated their time for the love of playing. Mayor Riley proclaimed the Eagles Band the official band of the city of Pittsfield, and the Summer Concerts in the Park series was resurrected and has been taking place at Springside Park since 1994. In addition to hearing the band perform, we'll have a chance to speak with the members of the Eagles Band, including band manager and historian Deanna Freyer, and trombonists Ronald Barron and Mike Oft, who join us now. Welcome. Say, Mike, what was that first tune?
That was Olympic Spirit. That's one that Ron Barron, when he joined our group, brought to us, and it's always been our main opener, and it really seems to get everyone's attention when we do a gig. It's a great one to have in the book.
And so, Ron, what is it you love about that tune?
Well, John Williams has written a lot of fanfares for Olympics and a lot of other reasons, and that particular one, I don't remember exactly which Olympics he wrote it for, but it's a very high-spirited, terrific, wonderful expression of John's style. And it was arranged for brass by Larry Isaacson of the Boston Conservatory. And so.
And Ron Barron, you were a member of the Boston Symphony Orchestra, weren't you?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
How long did you play with them?
38 years.
And what was your position with them?
Well, I played in the trombone sections, second, first in pops, and then eventually principal trombone from 1975 to...
And so did you go back and forth between the pops and the BSO, or how did
that
work?
A little bit, but eventually I didn't do as much pops work as my tenure went on, and I ended up playing most of the symphony work.
So what's John Williams really like?
Oh, he's great. He's one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. And I think I say that with great confidence. Anybody who's met John and knows him, he's one of the most wonderful people in the music business or any other business for that matter.
That's right. Deanna, you're the official historian. Is that important?
Yes, it's important for us to keep track of what we've been doing and the progress we've made through the years.
How far back do you go as the historian of the band?
Well, actually, I'm in that job temporarily right now. Our historian was Diane Nichols, and she spends her winters in Florida now and decided she wanted to pass it on.
So what's so important about being a historian?
It's just mostly keeping track of, you know, the people that go through. It's nice to go back and see who's been playing with us and the progress we've made. You know, we were at one point, we were down to only 13 members, and now we have...
I know, I remember that.
And now we have 65 active performers in the Eagles concert band.
Well, I'm so jealous. You know, I'm a trumpet player back from the old days, and I'm not fishing for an invitation because I couldn't be up to it. But you guys are terrific, and it gives everybody a chance to keep their chops up, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we play year-round. We've been attracting more and more people lately. I think the quality of the group has really skyrocketed lately, and we've got a lot of former music teachers, professional musicians, people who teach music therapy, and plus just the everyday person off the street.
Well, hey, Ron, back to you. As a former BSO guy, does it ever occur to you that the group isn't up to what your expectations are?
Well, not at all. Well, I retired from my full-time professional life in 2008, and I kept busy professionally doing things personally or wherever I could go. But it's
like
a great pleasure. Well, traveling to universities, doing master classes and recitals and such, it was very nourishing for me. But personally, to work with this group, wonderful people who enjoy playing and get together and devote a lot of their time and energy to this pursuit, it's very satisfying, great fun. And everybody plays terrifically. They have great fun with it. That's what really counts.
So, Mike, do you ever have to counsel anybody out?
So far, that hasn't ever happened, and I don't think it's going to need to be happening. I started this group in December of 2012.
And how did that happen?
Well, we moved here from Portland, Oregon, because our son Toby is now the principal trombonist in the Boston Symphony.
In fact, he took Ron's place, right?
Yeah, he took Ron's place. And when he said, "This is where I want to be," why we decided to pack up and move. So after I got here, Deanna called me and said, "Would you be a member of the Eagles Band?" And then in 2012, they asked if I could put a trombone ensemble together. And I started with five. And pretty soon we had seven, so I got seven-part stuff. And then I called Ron and was talking to him about it, and he said he would like to join. Well, having Ron Barron join your group, that's kind of like having Michael Jordan join your City League basketball team. And it just opened up all kinds of possibilities. And as you see now, why we're normally up to 14, and a lot of times during the summer we have 19. And so it's really a wonderful thing that's happened.
Okay, Ron, is there a special piece you're going to play for us now?
Why don't we do clarinet polka?
That was wonderful. Now, we do have a fair mix of women and men in the band, which is very nice. And sitting next to me is a first-rate clarinetist. You are?
My name is Pam Pizzoka.
And Pam, tell us, do you feel out of place with all these trombones around, you and your fellow clarinetist?
Absolutely not. Actually, I just joined the trombone ensemble a couple months ago. It's very welcoming. Everybody's really nice, helpful. And it's really just a fantastic opportunity to have joined this ensemble.
What did you do before that?
I did play in the Eagles band. I have played in the Eagles band for 14 years now.
Wow.
So, yeah, again, everybody's just really nice. It's really just a great experience.
Yes, I heard you playing at the Rhubarb Festival, and you were terrific. I said, we've got to get these people on the radio. And that's how it all began. Thanks for being with us.
No, thank you for having us.
Okay, what we're going to do now is play music. And Ron, you'll introduce the
numbers. Just going to introduce our next tune?
Yes, please.
We're going to play a short version of Ashokan Farewell. I think you know Jay Unger.
He's a I know
musician.
Him well.
And he composed this melody for a farewell at the end of their music camp one summer. And most anybody listening to it will recognize it from Ken Burns' Civil War series, which was the main theme. And this is a short arrangement we have done by Gerald Zephus, who's a freelance musician here in Albany, did an arrangement for our group.
Thank you.
That was great. Simply great. Hey, Mr. Tuba player, why don't you stand up here before the mic? I got a couple of questions for you. What's your name?
I'm Bob Davenport.
And Bob, what's your history? How did you get to this band?
Well, I started playing tuba when I was in junior high school. And
why did the teacher make you the tuba player?
Well, that was an interesting story because they needed a tuba player for the high school marching band, and they didn't have one, and they said, you look strong enough to carry a tuba. So I became a tuba player.
Yeah, and what's the number one tune that people ask you to play on the tuba?
Number one tune?
You know, there's always oompa, oompa.
Well, there's always oompa music. Any polka is good. Bear Barrel Polka is always a favorite.
But the most famous tuba of all was?
Tubby the Tuba.
That's right. And he was allowed to play a melody for the first time. Do you ever get to play the melody?
On rare occasion.
Well, it is an extraordinary thing to be the only tuba player in the band, right? I mean,
well, in this ensemble, yeah. My co-tuba player for the concert band is Hank Kubley, and he's equally adept at playing tuba.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us today. I appreciate it so much.
Thanks.
And let's have the guy next to you who has this gigantic trombone with a huge bell on it.
Hi.
Who are you?
I am Jeff Bentley.
And why does your trombone appear to be so much bigger than everybody else's?
Well, it's a bass trombone, and it allows me to play lower notes similar to what the tuba plays.
Right. Do you ever compete with the tuba for who does the oompas?
No, we don't compete. We play together. It's fun.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. It's my nature, you know. And what did you do for a living?
I'm a piano technician.
I tune
and rebuild pianos.
Yeah, we have one of those in our house. We have a piano in our house. And the guy came, and now Roselle, my wife, has to feed the piano. You know, when the green light goes off,
yes.
She has to feed the piano. Do you know what I'm talking about?
You have to water the piano. Does it get longer?
Yeah. That's terrific. You've been around for a while. That's great. I thank you so much for being with us. And for our next tune, we're going to be doing...
We have an arrangement from the movie... 1960 movie, The Magnificent Seven, and this was music by Elmer Bernstein. Thank you.
That was wonderful. So who are you?
My name is Phil Brink.
On the?
Bass trombone.
No, on the brink.
That's been my story my whole life.
Yeah. So what do you do, or what did you do?
It's more like did. I am now retired.
From?
But teaching trombone and playing trombone.
Really?
In Bangkok, Thailand.
No.
Yes.
You were there for your entire career?
No, I was there for the last 10 years of my active life.
And how did you get
there? Before that, I freelanced in Chicago, where I'm from. And before that, I played in the Hong Kong Philharmonic.
Whoa.
I've been everywhere.
Now, how did you get there? I mean, how did you get to?
Well, you buy a ticket and you get on a plane.
Funny. What was it like being in that culture playing the trombone?
It was different. The kids that I had as students were amazing, hardworking, very energetic, and very, very respectful. And that was really an exciting thing. You know, a trombone player doesn't get much respect.
Well, how would you
to have all these students really thinking of me as their devoted teacher, that made me their devoted teacher, and it was very exciting.
How would you compare that with the kids' attitudes in the States? Here's a dangerous
They worked
question.
Harder. There was less stuff in the way. They weren't overscheduled the way so many American kids are, overcommitted to, you know, soccer practice and football and drama and whatever. And there were fewer options, which meant that if they're going to study music, well, they're going to study music, period, and they're going to work hard at that.
So interesting. So were there tiger moms involved in all of this to make sure that they paid careful attention to their music?
It was a university. So all of the kids that I dealt with were 18 and above.
Oh.
And so they were pretty much free, although many of them still lived at home. A lot of them had their own apartments or lived in university dormitories. And got in trouble, just like kids do. But it was a very different culture. First of all, I regret to say that I learned a very tiny bit of the Thai language. So the kids had to speak with me in my language. And so getting some of the finer details of what I wanted them to learn and work on, that was a big challenge.
So Thailand is very famous because they had a king for a while who loved to play the clarinet, as I remember it, and played with Benny Goodman when he went over there.
He played with Benny Goodman. He was actually a saxophonist. And the first time I heard about this was a group of students from my university, Northwestern, mid-60s. They had formed what's called the Graduate Saxophone Quartet. And they traveled all over the world. And the climax of their trip that they came back to ooh and ah about was playing with and for the King of Thailand, who himself was a saxophonist.
A saxophonist. Now I've learned something again. Thank you for being here with
us.
Sure
enough.
Very much.
It's my pleasure.
And your next colleague will come up and talk to us. Now, this is an interesting case because our next person has a very bushy mustache. And I have often wondered whether playing a brass instrument, the mustache gets in the way. First of all, who are you?
Well, my name's Richard Herdman from Pittsfield.
And that mustache?
To answer that, you know, it's hard to say what the theory is on that. My trombone teacher had a mustache, excellent trombonist. And it's been so long since I've not had a mustache that it's hard to know.
Well,
I'd have to do an experiment and actually shave the mustache off and see how it sounds.
Now, when did you know you were going to be a trombonist as opposed to a trumpet player or a clarinet player?
Well, I started back in the fourth or fifth grade during a summer program.
Really?
And as most kids, you know, we don't know what instrument we want to play. But the trombone with the slide seemed like an interesting
thing.
But did
the teacher hand you the trombone and say, this is you? I mean,
no,
that's what happened to me.
Nobody actually said, you know, I think you're made for this horn. No. I mean, I tried different instruments out.
You did?
Yeah.
Over the summer,
then I got to really feel that, you know, I could make a sound on it.
Because, you know, there used to be all these myths about what it took to be a trombone player as opposed to a trumpet player. My teacher handed me a trumpet and said, well, your lips are thin enough. And the kids with fat lips often got to play the trombone.
Right.
Is that a myth that is unfair?
No, I think that, you know, the embouchure and the lips, I think, does make a difference to what instrument you want to play. But you got to give a kid a chance to try different things, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, at the end of the summer, I just continued. And
what job did you have?
Well, I work in the Pittsfield Public Schools since 1997, so it's been a while. But I don't work with music students, per se. Uh-huh. I work with mostly special ed students.
Nice.
But I've been in most of the middle schools and high schools.
A very interesting story. Thank you for being with us
today. You're welcome.
And next up, they're going to play Sweet Caroline. It's one of my favorite pieces. It's great. Hello, who are you?
I'm Emily Chin.
Emily, what's your story?
Well, I started trombone in sixth grade, randomly picked it up at an instrument fair, and a week later I was in middle school band, and then I joined the Eagles band about 5 years ago, and
Is it rewarding?
It is. I really enjoy being a part of the ensemble. I think it's a nice big community full of people who similarly enjoy sharing and performing music.
Do you have a day job?
I do. I'm a music therapist and a music teacher.
And do you use the trombone in the music therapy?
I don't, unfortunately. I don't really have that kind of opportunity, but I use my guitar and piano.
Oh, that's great. Well, welcome and so glad to have you here
Thank you.
Now, this is a French horn player. And let me just tell you, everybody, that there is a big debate in the world as to which instrument is the hardest in the orchestra. Is it the violin? Or is it the French horn? And who are you?
My name is Jane Bailey.
Jane, what's the answer to my difficult question?
I don't know. I've never tried the other ones.
That's good.
Yeah.
Very good. But it is often been said, even in the major orchestras, we could ask Ron about this, every once in a while, you'll hear a clinker out of the French horn. Is that because it's such a hard instrument to play?
Yeah. Well, I'm still working at it. The mouthpiece is very small.
Yeah, it's very small, smaller than a trumpet. I know that. What's the number on your mouthpiece?
I have no idea.
You don't know?
No.
Mine was a Bach 7C on my trumpet. I could tell you that much. And what do you do?
I work at Windy Hill Farm in Stockbridge.
I've been there many times.
I've seen you.
Many times. I go in there. I buy shrubs and things like that there. Yeah. Do they know that you have this side to you?
Yes, they do.
They hold it against you or?
No, they're really nice. They let me leave for a couple hours at a time to do various gigs.
And what do you do at the Windy Hill Farms?
I work in the perennial department.
Oh, the perennial department. Mm-hmm. And what is a perennial that nobody should miss ever?
Oh.
What's your number one perennial?
I don't
know.
You're asking the wrong person. I like all of them.
Oh, you do? Yeah. Oh, you like all your children? Yeah. Like. Well, that's great. Is there anything profound about this group that you'd like to share with us?
No, I just really enjoy it. They're all encouraging and positive, and it's just fun.
And when you flub a note, do they ever say anything?
No, they're very polite.
They don't look at you? Yeah. Okay, thank you for being with us. Ron, is there a special piece you're going to play for us now?
Next, we're going to offer you a march by the famous director and band person of the 20th century, Henry Fillmore, called Circus Bee, which you've probably heard any time you went to the circus.
Now, Mike, you're ostensibly the leader of the band, right?
Yeah. Like I said earlier, I got it started in Christmas of 2012, and it's just been growing and growing and growing, and it's absolutely been wonderful how it's grown and the work that everybody puts in and the attitude everybody has. It's the highlight of my week. Well,
That reminds me, how often do you rehearse?
We rehearse every Monday night.
Every Monday night.
Yeah, the Eagles concert band rehearses from 7 to 9, and we rehearse before that from 5:30 to 7. So that way everybody doesn't have to make an extra trip. And by the time we get done, our lips are pretty well shot, but it gives us a chance to kind of to work something up, and it gives us a destination each week that, hey, we've got to be ready for the rehearsal because we've got to last a whole long time.
Do your lips ever bleed? Do you play somewhere?
So far, we've been lucky on that.
Because, you know, there's nothing worse than a trumpet player with a canker sore.
Yes.
Because that can
and,
create...
And it's amazing how those canker sores always happen just before a big performance.
Yeah, there's got to be some kind of mind-body connection, right?
It has to be.
I agree with you, my fellow.
While I'm here, I need to put a plug in. The Eagles Concert Band is always looking for more musicians. Like I said, we rehearse from 7 till 9 every Monday night, especially if you play saxophone or if you're a percussionist. We're always looking for great saxophones or percussionists, and we invite anybody who could possibly come and join us who's within driving distance. We have people who come an hour and a half away to be in the concert band. And so if you live a long ways away and you hear this broadcast, why, please feel welcome to join us.
Okay, Mike, thank you. And speaking of percussionists, let's have the percussionist step up here and tell us a little about himself. I must say, I've seen a lot of orchestras tune up, but I've never seen a drum set as well tuned as our staff here has done, and then you after that. So who are you?
My name is Dave Fields.
Yeah.
I'm from Pittsfield.
Yeah. Is everybody from Pittsfield or?
No, in this group, no, not everyone.
No. And when did you start to play the drums?
I started when I was 13 years old.
Did you drive everybody crazy in your neighborhood?
In my family.
In your family, yeah. And what's it been like doing this gig?
This is heaven for me, the drummer, especially being in the center. This is like being inside of a chord organ.
Is that part of your contract that you have to be in the center?
No, we decided to do that just recently.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Otherwise, you were going to leave, right?
No.
Okay, so then, what do you do for a living?
Well, I'm retired now, but I worked as a metal spinner. It's an artisan kind of a thing.
Really?
It's metal spinning is how the bells on these horns are made.
Wow. Tell us more.
And, I did it for 38 years.
Yeah, but how do you spin the bell of a horn?
Well, it starts as a flat disc.
Yes.
Brass.
Brass.
Because we spun all types of metal, but that's brass as a disc. And it's like horizontal pottery.
Really?
And the form of the bell is on a mandrel.
Let the people out there know that your hands are moving around, but it's the radio.
Yeah. So, and so it's done on a lathe.
Yeah.
A tuba bell is on a really large lathe.
So how'd you get into that?
Well, I was in the military, and after the military, I was needed
something. Were you in a band in the military?
I did play with the 2nd Armored Cav in Nuremberg, Germany, yes.
Really? And how did you get there? That's an interesting story.
Well, I was overseas for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
First year in Vietnam, the second year in Germany.
Right.
Year and a half.
Yeah.
And I wasn't in the 2nd Armored Cav, but they were looking for a drummer. And I auditioned when I got there, and the rest was history. I played all over Germany for about a year.
Was that post-Elvis in Germany? Was Elvis?
Yes.
Elvis was there earlier.
He was there earlier. He was stationed in a town called Furt.
Uh-huh.
Furt, Germany, which is outside of Nuremberg.
Yeah.
That's where Henry Kissinger is from, actually.
Interesting.
And they knew him very well over there.
I'll bet they did.
Yeah.
I'll bet they did. Well, thanks for playing the drums for us.
Well, thank
today.
You very
Appreciate
much.
Appreciate that. What we're going to do now is play music. And Ron, you'll introduce the numbers.
Just going to introduce our next tune?
Yes, please.
Next, we're going to play something a bit different, Tango for Jam Jam. Thank you.
That was wonderful. I love this. This is sort of like a chorus line. Everybody's telling their story. Who's next?
Hello.
Who are you?
I'm Jacob Keplinger.
Okay.
I've been playing trombone since I was 9 years old.
Wow.
Yeah, so. And I'm actually a local band director in Western Mass.
Which town?
I'm the band director at Hoosick Valley High School, middle school and high school.
Is that a good job?
Yeah, it's a great job. You know, I teach grades 5 through 12. We got about 20% of the student population in my band program.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, we play all the instruments. From
how many do you play?
A lot.
Do you play all of them?
I do play most of them.
Did you have to go to school for that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I went to undergraduate school at Potsdam College, the Crane School of Music in northern New York.
I know. We know it well, yeah.
Yeah, and then I taught in western New York for a few years and then went to graduate school at Michigan State University and taught out there for a few years and then ended up back out in the Berkshires and have been there since.
Is there any better place in the world than the Berkshires?
It's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah. It's really
it's a beautiful spot to live, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you for being with us.
Well, thank
you. Appreciate it very much. Next, well, we already have talked with our very good friend, the historian. But Deanna, come on up and tell us a little about yourself. You're a historian, and you're also a trombone player. Which comes first?
Trombone playing.
Is that right?
Yeah, and actually the band manager for the Eagles.
The band manager.
Yeah.
And what is it that you do for a living? Not that. Is that your job?
I'm retired now, but I was a music teacher for about 8 years, and then I ended up working for the phone company. Started out with New England Telephone.
The phone company?
Ended up with
I want
Verizon.
To ask you. No, go ahead. Sorry about that. So what did you do for them?
I was a first line manager, worked in operator services for about 18 years, and then I was in network services here in Albany on State Street.
So you used to commute between the Berkshires and Albany or the other way around?
Actually, we moved over to Clifton Park, and then I didn't commute for work, but I commuted for the band.
Oh, I
for
see.
17 years, I drove back and forth, and now I live over in Pittsfield.
Wow. Is there anything unique about you that we should know? I mean, you're a special person, obviously, and you take these assignments on, don't you? So.
Yeah, I guess most of us actually in the group. Involved in lots of the ensembles. I play in the concert band manager. I play in the trombone ensemble. I conduct the brass ensemble. I'm on the board of directors. So I'm away from home a lot.
Do you make money doing this?
No. It's all volunteer work.
Okay.
And I have a husband who's very supportive, thank God.
What does he do for a living?
He's retired, but he was a manager and then a meat cutter for Hannaford.
Wow. Well, thank you for this. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay. We have a wonderful trombone player from the very end of the group. Who are you?
Hi, I'm Jillian Avery.
So, Jillian, what is it that attracted you to the band?
Well, actually, my former band teacher, who's actually in the group right now, Jake Keplinger, was the one that got me into joining the Eagles band originally.
Was it a hard thing to convince you to do this?
I was a little hesitant. I always get nervous joining new groups and everything, but I'm so glad I did end up joining the group.
Well, what's the best thing about being in the group?
Obviously, playing all the time is great. The whole band's like a big second family to me. Everyone's so just supportive and nice and positive, and it's just a great group to be a part of.
Do you guys all party together?
Sometimes.
That's wonderful. Do you have a day job?
Yep, I'm a special ed teacher.
Wow, that's great. And where do you do that?
In Bennington, Vermont.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, congratulations on that and for all you're doing, and thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, what about the clarinet players? Have we learned all about them that we should? Here's one. Clarinet player, what's your name?
Hi, I'm Dave Pearlson.
Well, is that it?
No, I moved here from Miami Beach 20 years ago.
Oh, yeah?
And people think that I have a problem with sanity for doing that, but there's no better place to live than in the Berkshires.
No, it's true. So how did you make a buck?
I've done a number of things in my life. I started out as a music educator and then got guilted back into the family hotel and apartment business in Miami Beach. Did that for 20 years, was an elected official, retired to the Berkshires.
Wait, what kind of elected official?
I was a commissioner in the city of Miami Beach.
Really? Was that important?
Well, it wasn't not.
How many of you were there?
There were 7 of us.
Wow, that's a lot of commissioners. Yeah. And
we had a $400 million budget, so with all of our enterprise funds, it was a big job.
Where did you learn how to play the clarinet?
When I was 11 years old, I was diagnosed with something called malocclusion. It means that your bottom teeth stick out farther than your top teeth. And the orthodontist said, there's nothing else I can do for you. Play the clarinet. Maybe it'll push them in a little bit.
And did it?
I don't know.
You don't look strange to me, I'll tell you that much.
Well, it could have been a lot worse, I guess.
Yeah. And you've enjoyed the Berkshires?
I love the Berkshires. I love the Eagles band. There isn't a finer collection of wonderful people anywhere in the Berkshires. I haven't met anyone in this band that isn't down-to-earth, decent, giving, wonderful. Have a love of music. It allows us to experience esprit de corps, to be a part of something that's bigger than yourself. And just as Mike was telling us, if you're a percussionist or you're a saxophone player, come on down, because this is a great band.
How would they get in touch with you guys?
We have a website that's called Eagles Community Band, and we rehearse every Monday night in Pittsfield, 7 to 9 o'clock, at the Methodist Church, which is on Fenn Street. It's right across.
But you don't have to be a Methodist to be in the group.
No, you don't have to be a Methodist. No. Okay. You can be anything. We accept all denominations.
That is so cool.
The important part, though, is that it's an opportunity to express that music that exists in all of us. It's that opportunity to release something that's inside of us. And if you're out there and you play an instrument, you know what I'm talking about. The quality of our performance ensemble is excellent. You have a taste of it here with this wonderful trombone ensemble. But I joined the band because I heard them playing in Great Barrington. And I looked up there and I saw five French horns. I saw two oboes. And I said, this band has, you know, you don't often get any French horns and you don't often get any oboes. And now we have a bassoon player, we have three oboes, and we have five French horns. And that's usually a good indication of the quality of a band if you have those difficult instruments covered. So we're totally blessed.
Do you ever shave your own reeds, or what do you do?
You know, you adjust them, but very few people today make reeds, and there are a lot of companies out there, and with the precision of the engineering equipment that exists today, very few people make their own reeds. They just do minor adjustments. But just one other thing I'd like to say, Alan. Sure. May I call you Alan?
Yeah.
Okay. You got a sampling, but our band is full of all kinds of people. It's not just professional musicians. We have teachers, we have doctors, we have engineers, we have project managers, people who work for General Dynamics. And if you got that love of music in you, we got a venue for you to come and take advantage of getting it out, having a good time, and meeting wonderful people.
Well, thank you for this. Appreciate it. And Ron, you'll introduce the
numbers? Just going to put a plug in, though, while you have a moment.
Okay, of course we do. I
want to tell you that this week on Friday night, the group is going to be playing at the Bandstand in Great Barrington, starting at 5:30. So everybody in Great Barrington, come out and enjoy the group this week.
And let me tell you, the Shartocks go, because it is a great institution.
Good. Right across from the Mahiwi Theater there at the Bandstand.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, Ron, is there a special piece you're going to play for us now?
Our next selection is going to be Sweet Georgia Brown. Thank you.
That was terrific. We've been in conversation and listening mode today with the Eagles Band Trombone Ensemble, the oldest continuing performance ensemble in the Berkshires. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining us today. Okay, guys, what are you going to play us out with?
Okay, we're going to take it out with Tailgate Ramble.
The program you just heard was recorded live at WAMC's Linda Norris Auditorium in Albany, New York. Thanks to our engineers, Matthew Plummer and Carl Blackwood. I'm David Gustina, producer of the program. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Dr. Alan Chartok, President and CEO of WAMC Northeast Public Radio and Professor Emeritus at the University at Albany. For more information on WAMC's In Conversation with Alan series or to order a physical copy, call 1-800-323-9262 or subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or on the Google Play Store.